Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Today is the second Sunday of Easter. Cherry reliably informed me that it is called Low Sunday. I had heard the term before, but I'll be honest, all the names of all the different Sundays really don't mean anything to me. So what did I do? In my normal pattern, instead of being confident and asking the question to a more knowledgeable other, therefore demonstrating my own lack of knowledge, I consulted the internet. Things that I have found out. The second Sunday of Easter is the eighth day of Eastertide. It has various names, including Divine Mercy Sunday, Octave Day of Easter, White Sunday, Quasimodo Sunday, Bright Sunday, and Low Sunday. In the Eastern Christian tradition, it is also known as Antipasha, New Sunday, and Thomas Sunday. Well, let's unpick some of the Western tradition names. White Sunday was named because Easter week was known as White Week for the white robes worn during the week by those who had been baptized at the Easter Vigil. Traditionally, baptisms do not occur during Lent. It's not a rule, just a tradition, So many people were baptized at Easter. This White Sunday should not be confused with Whitsun or Pentecost. Quasimodo Sunday. This one excited me because of the link to the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Unfortunately, it had nothing to do with the Disney film, which I'm ashamed to say is my only point of reference for that story, but it originated from the incipit, the opening words, of this day's traditional Latin introit, opening of the Mass. I also discovered that Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame was so named because he was found abandoned on the doorsteps of Notre Dame Cathedral on the Sunday after Easter. Divine Mercy Sunday is quite a new name. In the year 2000, Pope John Paul II named it such based on a petition by St. Faustina Kowalski, who was a Polish religious sister. The opening prayer for Divine Mercy Sunday Mass begins, "Heavenly Father and God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life." We will come back to this later on. Low Sunday could be argued to be used in contrast with the high festival of Easter Sunday, or some argue that it could be a corruption of the Latin word lauded. I am sure that it doesn't mean low attendance after the high attendance of Easter Sunday. So now we're going to come back to our gospel reading for today. The disciples were together. The doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. What we have to remember is that the disciples didn't stop being searched for once Jesus was crucified. Anyone associated with Jesus was viewed as dangerous and therefore would have to be subdued. They have locked the doors so that they could not be surprised by unannounced visitors. When I imagine this scene, I think about the times when I have sat with my family and loved ones after someone we love has died. I am sure that many of you have been in that situation. The enormity of emotions pulsating through your body, heart beating so loudly it sounds like crashing waves in your ears. Breathing is difficult. You are unable to swallow because there is what feels like a huge lump in your throat. You can feel every fibre of your being pulsating with life and are more acutely aware of it because the one that you loved is gone. Imagine all of those feelings coupled with the fear of being caught, adrenaline rushing through their bodies, grief, fear, despair, loss, longing. And then suddenly Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." I am not sure that peace is what anyone was feeling at that moment. Our Bible reading tells us that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I am certain that joy was not the only emotion they were feeling. In my mind, absolute chaos ensues. Chairs and tables upturned as they jump for joy, jump in fear, jump in surprise. Oh, the noise that would have been made. Can you imagine if a much-loved member of our church family appeared right now after we had thought them gone forever? No wonder Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." That brings us to poor Thomas, also known as Didymus, also known to many of us as Doubting Thomas. What an event to miss. It sounds so far-fetched, I don't blame him for being sceptical. All of the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Why did Jesus not come when he was there? Was he not good enough? I imagine that he would have been plagued with self-doubt and full of questions that he was unable to answer. It is all too much for Thomas to comprehend, so he does the very human thing, seeks to find evidence. He wanted physical proof that this fantastical thing had happened. My mind once again is drawn back to being in that room after the death of a loved one. Are they really gone? Perhaps someone has made a mistake. Perhaps it is the wrong person. Members of my family have needed physical reassurance. They have viewed the body of our loved one to provide the evidence that they are no longer here with us on earth. I was with my father when he died, and yet I had the urge to confirm that what I had already witnessed. This person was such a large part of my life that it seemed impossible for him not to be here anymore. Returning from the grave is even more bewildering, so I can completely understand why Thomas wanted proof. Thomas doesn't say that he doesn't care that Jesus appeared to the others and he missed it. He is saying that he wants to experience what they experienced. He wants to be sure, to be able to silence those voices of doubt. His doubt is not apathy, it is longing and seeking. Jesus didn't chastise Thomas. He met Thomas's doubt with grace, not condemnation. He came again. Once again, the doors were locked. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And then to Thomas, he gave him the reassurance that he needed. Jesus told Thomas to put his finger in his wounds. This was a very intimate act, one I can only imagine would have been done sensitively and tenderly. Jesus did not chastise Thomas. There is no anger, no rejection, simply an invitation to give Thomas the reassurance that he needed. Like Thomas, after that first encounter, are unable to see Jesus and touch his wounds. I believe that we are provided with evidence to reassure and grow our relationship of faith through the reading of Scripture and interacting with other believers. We are told that blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We are those people. We are unable to place our fingers in the wounds, and yet we are called on to believe in the resurrection. We are told that Jesus performed many other signs when he was with the disciples, but they have not been recorded in this book. That makes this sign important. Significant, somehow demonstrating something about the nature of God, Jesus, and us. Sometimes we have to trust one another. We have to put aside our doubts to follow Jesus. But for me, this Bible reading gives us permission to question, to seek confirmation. How we hear or find this evidence is down to us. Jesus meets us where we are. Jesus does not wait for us to have perfect faith. He comes into locked rooms, into uncertain minds, into fearful hearts, and says, "Peace be with you," until we are able to hear it. We are complicated beings. designed to question that which we have not experienced, designed to remember that which we have experienced in vivid detail. Faith is not always neat and tidy. Questions arise, struggles come, but that does not disqualify us from discipleship. The goal of faith is not simply to resolve our doubts, but to bring us into a living relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our God. In this modern world, we often speak about our relationship with Scripture in terms of reason, analogy, and tradition. Thomas embodies this wrestling beautifully. He reasons, he questions, and ultimately he submits to the revelation of Christ. So what can we do to bring this Bible story to life in us today? Firstly, if we are doubting, we should bring this to Jesus. There is no point trying to hide it, no point in pretending. Faith grows not by ignoring doubt, but by bringing it into the light and grace of Christ. Secondly, if you are a person who considers yourself strong in faith, please be patient with those of us who struggle. The church, and our church, must be a place where honest questions are welcomed, not dismissed or silenced. If we are all to grow in faith and strengthen our relationship with God and each other. And finally, let's try to create space where we can experience where Jesus is meeting us. Let those doubts churn over, and instead of dismissing them, let us use them to deepen our understanding of who God is for us. Christianity is not a set of beliefs or rules to live by. It is a relationship with a living God, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything to rebuild that relationship and direct connection between us and God. If we achieve these 3 points, perhaps we will be able to declare with our whole lives, as well as with a loud and confident voice, "My Lord and my God."